Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, we offer these prayers that by your grace we may become your children of your transforming love. We bring to you, Lord, the needs of those whose lives are shadowed by suffering, praying especially for those whose sadness finds no comfort and whose loneliness can never be filled. Bind up the wounded, O Lord, and lift the health to you. We remember, Lord, those who have suffered in times of difficulty. We commend to you your mercy, O Lord, that those who suffer and those who sorrow as a result of violence and acts of terrorism, strengthen those who suffer for the sake of your love. Give them grace to respect and witness and discern the truth for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace and your love for each one of us, despite all our faith and weaknesses. We praise you that you have accepted us, not through our efforts, but according to your overdeserving love, through faith in Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for taking this for granted, for assessing that we carry on regardless. We praise you that we may be insecure in the knowledge of your mercy and goodness. Give us, Lord, a longing to serve you better, to grow in likeness of Christ, not in any attempt to justify ourselves, but simply to express our love for you. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit, and lift us each day in the newness of life. We pray all things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Potter and the Clay. In this text that we have read in Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah to get up and go watch the potter work. The nation of Israel was in a time of crisis, not so much of a financial or national crisis, though it was pending, rather it was a spiritual crisis. The nation that belonged to God, that was blessed by God, had forgotten God. God no longer was sitting at the center of their lives. They had forsaken God to go and fetch other things, things that brought them earthly pride and pleasure. So God took a back seat in their lives. And God will not sit idle while his people go after other things to replace him, for God will not settle for second place in their lives or in our lives. Because our God is a jealous God. Now, we often think of jealousy as a bad thing, but jealousy can be a good thing when it is warranted. God's jealousy for us is actually a good thing. God is jealous because God is loving. Let's suppose you dig in your husband's wallet to get some money, and all of a sudden you fall out is a beautiful woman whom you have never seen. You ask, who is she? And she says, She's a friend. And I can't talk to you. I talk to her. She's understanding and caring. She's always there when I need her. Now, ladies, may I ask you, would you be jealous of your husband? Would he be dead? You would be jealous if he loved him. God is the same way. God is the potter. We are the clay. He designed us, he created us, he molded us and made us to be his. And when we wander from that, God has every right to be jealous for us. So when the nation of Israel was wandering from God, God didn't stand back and say, oh, it's okay, have a good time. No. He sought to bring them back. God wanted Israel back to himself. And this is why Jeremiah was sent to the potter's house. It is there he sees the potter working on the clay. And he learns some valuable lessons. In verse 3 we read, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now there's a few things here we notice. Notice the vessel, the pot he was shaping, was marred in the potter's hand. It doesn't say that the potter marred it, just say it was marred. The clay was resisting the touch of the potter, so the original design was flawed. What a wonderful illustration, not only of mankind, but of creation. The word tells us that God created everything. He created everything and he said it was very good. In Genesis 1:31, God said that he made what he made, and behold, it was very good. But what happened? He also gave one command to follow, and men didn't follow it. Now, if you were the potter and the clay and refused to yield to your will, what would you do? I suppose most of us would throw the half-completed vessel on the trash heap and start with a new clump of clay. But that's not what the potter did. He kept the wheel turning. He kept the wheel turning and seemed good for the potter to make it. I like these four words. It says, he made it again. He made it again. Let's think of Abraham. Abraham, the great man of faith, who disobeyed God and left the promised land for Egypt. While in Egypt, Abraham fell into sin and lied about his wife. In fact, because of his disobedience, he almost lost his wife. So what did God do with Abraham? Did God reject him and throw him on the trash heap? No. He made him again. He made Abraham again, and he gave Abraham another chance. And as a result, Abraham became a great servant and was known as a friend of God. Think of Peter, the great man of courage. Peter said to Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of you, of thee, yet will I never be offended. Yet Peter denied the Lord three times. So what did God do with Peter? He made him again. Jesus forgave Peter and restored him to the discipleship. And Peter became one of the greatest soul winners of all time to the glory of God. And think about David again. David, David, a man after God's own heart. He committed adultery. He lied and he killed. What did God do with David? He made him again. Perhaps today we are living under a dark cloud of defeat and despair. Perhaps we have disobeyed the Lord and have sinned against him. Satan is saying, God is finished with you. God isn't through with each one of us. Do not despair. Lift up your head. He will make you again if you will surrender to the will of God. There are many people who are living under the shadow of despair because they think that God is through with them. Somewhere along the line they have sinned. They have failed to yield to the Lord. And now they are convinced this is the end. Paul tells us in Romans that all creation is groaning for deliverance from the curse that came upon this world. That says to me that everything we see has been affected by what happened. But that's not the way we tend to look. It's a lot easier for us when things don't seem to be what they think they ought to be. We question God, we blame God. But the truth is that many times things as they simply do not represent God. God did not intend it in the first place. We live in a marred world. Just look at the headlines. Someone shot children in school. Many children are killed. There's a hurricane, and a typhoon. You name it, they have it. The world is not what God made it. It is marred. And mankind is the same way. I think most of us just try to hide the lumpy old clay on the inside of the pot where it can't be seen. But over time, people begin to notice just how marred we are. No one is perfect. There's marred relationship at work. Marred relationship at work. For all have sinned and fallen of the glory of God. But the beautiful thing is what happens next. The potter is shaping a vessel with his hands when it all collapsed on him. The shape did not take in the clay. It was literally ruined, as Jeremiah recorded. It was marred. Notice what happened next. The potter did not throw the marred piece into the corner of the shop or into the trash can. He continued working with it and reshaped it into another vessel, which he deemed good to make. In other words, he began again from scratch with the same clay and gave it a shape that was good and holding its form. So God said to his people, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand. When we are flawed, the good news is God can remake us. We can fall apart at the seams, but God put us together again. God wasn't through with the clay. God was telling Jeremiah, go tell the people. Yes, you have messed up. You have disobeyed. I can rework you. I will form you into a vessel that is useful. I will not throw you away. Now, many of us feel we are no longer useful to God. We are cracked. We make mistakes. We have many stains. But here is the good news. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone and a new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God can rework that old clay and turn into something wonderful. God tells Jeremiah, if a nation that was doomed to destruction and repents, God gave them another chance. And if we have failed, if we have made a mess of our lives, then let us tell ourselves, God is still at the potter's wheel, ready to remake our lives into something wonderful. Remember John Newton? He was a man whose life was going downhill. He worked as a slave trader. He lived a drunkard life. It got so bad that one time he got so drunk and fell off the ship. And his shipmates tried to harbour him, to bring him aboard. We would say that's not a waste. But God gave John Newton another chance. And one day, fearing for his life while at work through a storm at sea, John Newton gave his heart to Christ. And later, this same trader became a preacher and wrote the words of the hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." That's John Newton. Now in the same way, God is willing to rework our life today. No matter how marred it may be, here's one thing. You have to yield to Him. The potter has a purpose, and with every touch, He is forming and transforming each one of us into a vessel of honor. Something so beautiful, but unlike clay, we can resist. If we are stubborn and follow our own desire, evil desires instead of God, if we disobey Him instead of listening to Him, then we are going to be a vessel, not of honor, but of dishonor. Let us recognize that God is a potter and we are the clay. God has a purpose for our lives. When the potter sits down to make his pottery, he has something in mind what he wants to make it look like. And much in the same way, God has a plan for each of our lives. Now, I don't mean that we believe that every detail of our life is sketched out by God. I believe He has given us the freedom of choice. But I do believe that God has a reason for each person to be here on earth, a part of them to contribute to His overall plan. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be the praise of His glory, who have trusted in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. God has revealed that the king doesn't tell us every detail. Our job is to listen to that call and be obedient. So the potter is very patient with the clay. He made it again, for he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. If the clay refuses to yield, it becomes so hard that the potter can shape it. And there's nothing to do but to put the clay on the shelf and forget it. But before that happens, the potter lovingly, patiently deals with us to bring us back, to return to him. You see, God has an investment in each of our lives. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood to save us from our sins. This clay he is fashioning is not cheap clay. It's expensive. He made it again into another vessel. This is Jeremiah's way of saying that I will repent of the good whereof I said I would benefit them. This is what John, Apostle John, says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. See, God is very faithful to his promise. He is just and will forgive. We can try to explain, but if we don't open our door of forgiveness, if we don't admit them, how can God forgive us? God made again, it's not just a matter of God's love, it is God's grace. Yes. Don't punish yourself and live under a dark cloud. God will forgive. God will forget. God will bring you out into the sunlight of his blessing. He will make you again. All that he asks is that you confess and surrender yourself to him. He is the potter. We are the clay. The potter has a plan. All the clay has to do is to yield. Let him make us again. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He purifies us. And finally, know that with this plan, God will make in us as he seems fit. God works in us what is best for him, which ultimately is best for each one of us. Although it may not seem right at the time, but God has a plan. I know he can turn us into something wonderful. I trust that the potter is at the wheel. He is working something beautiful in each one of us. And I trust he will do it for each one of us. Will you yield your life? Will you yield to God's touch in your life today? Will you give him your life? Will you allow him to be in charge of your life, to make you and mold you as he seems fit? The choice is yours. What will we do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. He purifies us. He molds us once again. Amen.